Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. It's now been almost 2 weeks since the Supreme Court affirmed a lower court ruling that found the legislative districts drawn by the General Assembly violated the Constitution because lawmakers illegally packed African-American voters into districts to maximize the power of Republicans elsewhere in the state. The battle now is over when the districts will be redrawn and will there be a special election in 2017 to give voters a chance to elect lawmakers from new districts, or will they have to wait until 2018? Here to talk about the redistricting question and to weigh in on a House bill to dramatically weaken the state's gun laws is Senator Floyd McKissick from Durham County. Senator McKissick, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Well, it's a privilege and an honor. Always enjoy speaking with you.
Well, a lot to talk about that's happening in the General Assembly and the State Senate. I wanted to start by asking you where you think we need to go on responding to the United States Supreme Court and their ruling to uphold the lower court that we have a lot of legislative districts that were unconstitutionally racially gerrymandered.
I think we should immediately proceed in redrawing those 28 legislative districts, and those 28 districts will influence probably the way about two-thirds or three-quarters of the districts look in North Carolina. I mean, the Supreme Court has spoken. They're the ultimate authority, and their decision was unanimous. They decided it was a racial gerrymander, and for the last 6 years, we've been operating under illegal districts, and the best way to remedy that is to redraw those districts immediately. I mean, we don't need to wait. We don't need to allow just the three-judge panel to set a new deadline. We can be about doing that, and that's what Governor Cooper attempted to do last week with calling the extra session to get us working on that task immediately rather than waiting for another court order to tell us to do it.
Are you surprised that your Republican colleagues appear to be dragging their feet?
Well, I'm not entirely surprised. I just think it's terribly unfortunate. I mean, once the Supreme Court has spoken, they have no reason to delay things further. We need to be about the business of the day, redraw these legislative maps, and then allow the court to decide whether we will have an election this year in 17, or whether that election will be in 2018. That's really the only thing the three-judge panel needs to decide. But drawing the maps, we needed to have started on it yesterday.
And what's your view of when we should have a remedy? How should we fix this? Should we have an election in 2017?
I think we need to remedy the problem as expeditiously as possible, and a 2017 election is entirely feasible at this time. Unless this whole issue gets kicked down the road even further and ends up embroiled in more litigation, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Republican majority attempts to do so, just to further delay the time frame for us having good elections to elect members of the General Assembly that are not from these racially gerrymandered districts. But I think a 2017 election would be excellent. Every day that we delay doing it is the day that we deny the citizens of North Carolina the opportunity to vote on legislators from lawfully drawn districts.
I want to ask you about the budget, which is behind closed doors now. House and Senate budget leaders have been working on it. What are your hopes for some of the things that will come out of this conference committee, I guess, that's meeting behind closed doors?
Well, I'm hopeful that one of the recommendations by Governor Cooper was that we fully fund the backlog of kids for our pre-kindergarten programs. And there's about 4,700 kids that are in that backlog, and he wants to go ahead and get rid of that backlog over the next 2 years. The House has agreed with that. The Senate did not agree. I think that's something we clearly need to do. We need to make certain that we continue to provide some sort of benefit for all of the retirees in this state who have been denied an opportunity to get any kind of meaningful increase in quite a number of years. I thought what Governor Cooper recommended in terms of providing scholarships for those to attend community college was a great idea. Wonderful program. Other states are moving in that direction, including the state of Tennessee. So, I mean, if we have good deserving kids who need to be in school and can get these community college scholarships, that's important. In terms of teacher pay, we need to really remedy this issue in a meaningful way. We're still around 42nd in the country. We need to get up in the mainstream, around the 25th position. Governor Cooper had a plan that would get us there within the next 4 years. I would like to see us move in that direction in terms of teacher pay and even in terms of broadband in the rural areas of the state. They can't compete for jobs and economic growth if they don't have broadband, and even some of the schools don't have broadband in some of these rural areas. Governor Cooper had about $20 million in the budget to do that, and right now the Senate and House budgets are way down at $250,000. You know, and Governor Cooper wants to get those rural areas and many other areas, you know, mega sites for large employers, get the infrastructure in place to help them. He had that in his budget and up to tune of about $20 million, and House and Senate budgets have reduced it by about two-thirds. So, you know, I could go on and on. Tax credits that Governor Cooper recommended for daycare and for dependent care. That's the direction we need to move in. We don't need further corporate income tax reductions from corporations who would not ask for it, don't need it, and who are willing to pay their fair share in this state.
Yeah, I guess that was the big debate, one of the big debates in the Senate. I know that you and other Democrats were pressing to invest more in schools and education and health care, and the Senate leadership refused to allow those amendments to be heard and continue to cut corporate taxes. How much longer can we continue to cut taxes?
Well, I think it's a dangerous path that we're on. I mean, right now, at this point in time, our economy is growing. Our economy is thriving. We need to take advantage of this window of opportunity to go ahead and fully fund things that have been cut for many, many years, and education being one of it. I mean, you know, just talk about textbooks and technology in our classrooms, as well as a vast array of other needs. And the more and more we further reduce our income stream, we reduce our capacity to respond to not just the existing demands and needs of the day, but for the demands of the future as well. And if you talk to those who are economic forecasters, they'll tell you that while the last major recession was around 2008-2009, that we're overdue for some type of correction, and we don't know when that might be forthcoming, and we don't need to reduce our income and revenue streams. That will make it more challenging and difficult when we face that day and time, which will inevitably come, something that won't be as deep as it was in 08 or 09, but something that will still have a substantial impact on our ability to provide services.
One more budget question. It's been several weeks now, but I think folks are still talking about what happened in that early morning session when the Republican leaders recessed, came back, and actually took money specifically away from Democratic districts for community development, for technology in schools, for low-income kids. You've had some time to reflect on that. I wondered what you thought of that process, and are you hopeful that the House will remedy at least those sort of vindictive cuts?
Well, I think it's regretful that those cuts occurred from the outset. I'm hoping that in further negotiations that many of those cuts will be restored. Of course, that's difficult to tell at this point in time when you end up having the conferees sit around a table and they're really won't be meaningful Democrat participation except on the periphery. It's hard to know what's going to come forth from it, but I'm hopeful that those particular budget items are the things that people would agree are meritorious and that those cuts will be restored.
I want to ask you about a bill that passed the House last week, the Omnibus Gun Bill. I guess one of the things that it does is makes it easier for even 18-year-olds to carry concealed weapons in more places. And I know you've been an opponent of weakening our gun laws in the past, and I wonder what your thoughts are about the House bill.
It's a regretful bill, and it's something that our law enforcement agencies do not support in this state. I mean, there's no reason why we should reduce from age 21 to 18 the opportunity for people to get concealed carry permits. The data shows that those between 18 and 21 are four times more likely to become involved in a counter where they will end up being a fatality. So, I mean, we need to look at that data in and of itself. And more importantly, just understand that, you know, it eliminated the need to go out there and get training when in terms of firearms. And we don't need to be increasing the possibility or probability for people carrying more guns and weapons and responding inappropriately to circumstances they're confronted with. So I think it's moving us in the wrong direction. We already have nationally over 33,000 victims a year of gun violence. And the more we put guns in the hands of young people who may not be mature enough to handle those responsibilities and not require the training that's required to do so, the greater we enhance the probability that we're going to see more horrific incidences occur. And certainly, when we see these mass killings, we all get deeply concerned and upset about it. And there's a good reason why they have restrictions on concealed carry weapons. And that's because you can't see them, you don't know that people are carrying them. And we need to be exceedingly reluctant to do so. I know the Chief of Police Association, the Sheriff's Association, many of them feel as if it's moving in North Carolina in the wrong direction, and they're opposed.
Well, Senator McKissick, thanks for all you're doing in Raleigh, and we really appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy speaking with you, and feel free to give me a call on any future occasion.
Up next, how the battle for new legislative districts is part of a larger fight for voting rights. Stay tuned.